Please stand in body or in spirit. Oh, I didn't make it up. The Lord of the harvest visits the earth and waters it, and we receive its bounty. So it shall be with the word of the Lord. It shall not return to the Lord empty, but it will succeed in the thing for which it was sent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. And at this time, the children are released for jam as we sing our gathering hymn.
Oh, The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Glory to God in the highest, and the peace to God's people on earth.
The first reading is from Isaiah, the 55th chapter. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in singing verses 1 and 2 of Sing to the Lord of Harvest, based on the Psalm 65.
Thank you.
The second reading is from Romans, the 8th chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. There were such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and they ate them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds, they fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." And then later the disciples asked him, "Jesus, what is this all about?" And he said, "Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. This is most certainly the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. So, What is the best way to tell whether or not a congregation is a rural congregation? Anyone know? You ask them. Well, close, I was going to say, does that congregation own farmland? So show of hands, how many of you know that First Lutheran owns farmland? Ah, not all of you then. So First Lutheran owns 30 acres, I believe, and it was gifted to First Lutheran in the early 1980s. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe since that time we have rented that land to a farmer or multiple farmers. And if I am mistaken, I'm sure Norm will correct my mistakenness, as he will pretty much correct all of my mistakenness when it comes to First Lutheran's history. So am I correct on this one, Norm? I'm correct, yes. So we rent land, Jeff. We rent land that looks roughly like this. I interrupted his count. So this is not our farmland, but we rent land that's going to look roughly like this. And that is what the farmer pays us to plant, to have seeds sown on. Now, I ask, why do we choose this property, the tilled field? Why does the farmer, the sower, choose this property, the tilled field, to plant? Because it's flat, it's good soil, so those yields are going to be 100 or 60 or 30-fold, right? Or more. Norm says more. Says, what does Jesus know? He was never a farmer. Jesus was a carpenter. So, I mean, this isn't the only property that First Lutheran owns, is it? We own other property, right? Jeff, next picture. Oh, whoa! That is way out of order. We don't want the bird poop picture yet. All right, that one. We're going to have to work on that later, Jeff. We got to get that in the right spot. Okay, we own that. So a farmer does not pay us to plant that parking lot, does the farmer? Why? Because that's not true. We do grow stuff in that parking lot. In fact, not only does no one pay us to plant that parking lot, we pay someone to come into that parking lot during the spring and summer and spray those weeds, because weeds are terrible. I hate weeds, as you know, if you've listened to any of my ponderings. So, as I read the parable of the sower this week, nowhere, before, during, or after this parable, does Jesus say, therefore, go find the good soil and sow only there. Does Jesus say that anywhere here? No. If Jesus said that, and that's how I read it, I'd be more like a Presbyterian. I love my Presbyterian friends. I'm just joking. So I looked, and if you think about Jesus' ministry, Jesus' method of sowing, we shouldn't expect Jesus to say, just sow in good soil, should he? Because this is not what we see Jesus do, is it? So up to this point, we're in the 13th chapter of Matthew. We've encountered Jesus on this really big hill, preaching his Sermon on the Mount to these vast crowds, right? Now, nowhere is it written, at least that I've seen, that the disciples act as bouncers for this Sermon on the Mount, yelling over to Jesus, hey, boss, I'm not sure this one over here is good soil. He's got more of a rocky ground kind of vibe going on. What do you want us to do with him? I got to work on my impressions. And Jesus is like, get him out of here. How was that? No? No better? Okay. So that didn't happen, right? So after that, we encounter Jesus in the country of the Gadarenes, where he cast out multiple demons, right? And he sent those demons into a herd of pigs, and those pigs ran over the cliff. So, do you think the people, especially the people that own pigs in the land of the Gadarenes, were really excited to have Jesus there? No, they of course sent him away. And then we encounter Jesus as he's calling Matthew the tax collector to follow him. And after he does that, we hear the religious leaders accuse him of hanging out with sinners and eating with sinners. And Jesus says, yeah, that's kind of the point. And then we encounter Jesus as he sends the disciples out. He clearly instructs, if you aren't welcomed, shake the dust off your feet as you leave. And then we encounter Jesus as even John the Baptist's disciples question him. They say, are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Even John the Baptist's disciples wanted to know. We encounter Jesus as he proclaims woes to unrepentant cities that did not listen to the word that he sowed. We encounter Jesus as the religious leaders continue badgering him. Why do you pluck grain on the Sabbath? Why do you cure on the Sabbath? They even accuse him of being the leader of the demons, because how else could he cast them out? So when we encounter Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, he is going everywhere and proclaiming the word as he goes. He is scattering the seed as he goes. And this is the part that I really wanted, you know, to have a basket of seed today and just throw it all over you all. But I figured you wouldn't appreciate having to sweep that up. Anyway, so Jesus scattered the seeds everywhere he went. On the path, on the rocky ground, amongst the stupid dardar. You remember what dardar are? They're thistles. Among the thistles and the weeds and in the good soil. And he does this even though he knows that it might just get him into a little bit of trouble with the authorities that he keeps questioning. That keep questioning him. They keep questioning him. Why do you sow everywhere that you sow? Don't you know nothing's going to grow in that parking lot? And it did get him into trouble, didn't it? I think, maybe. He got into a, we're sick of this guy trying to upend our power structures and making us look stupid kind of trouble that ended up with him being nailed to one of those, a cross. But once that happened, the authorities were happy, right? The trouble was over for them, right? That's where the story of this obscure Palestinian Jew ended, right? No. Yeah. So the authorities took that problem. So if it didn't end, you're telling me that the authorities took the problem, nailed it to a cross, and this sower was heard from again? But how? He was dead. He was risen. This sower did not even say dead. As you said, this sower was resurrected. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. I know it's not Easter. I'm sorry. The sower is alive. Jesus is alive. And this has brought forth seeds that have multiplied, not 100-fold, not 60 or 30-fold. Norm said we're better farmers than that, right? How about 2.6 billion-fold? 2.6 billion-fold and growing. That's right. 2.6 billion Christians on this planet, and every year it grows. Because each one of us is a seed in the hands of the sower, ready to be dispersed. But to where? But to where? And you're not going to like my answer, especially Norm the farmer. You're not going to like my answer here, Norm. We are meant to be sown wherever it is that the sower throws us. And I know, I can hear you saying it. But Sean, the handful of seed that is First Lutheran, we're not as big as we used to be. Shouldn't we maybe try to exert some influence on Jesus here? Have him throw us into some of that good soil? Maybe we can slip him a 20 or something. See, we're going to bribe him. No, we shouldn't bribe Jesus. All right. So the parish that hosted me for a weekend in Tanzania, it was also a rural congregation. You know how I know? They owned farmland. Jeff, let's see if we got the next. Hey, no, keep going. That one. All right. So this is a field of tomatoes early in the growing seed there season there on the left side. They too pay someone to farm it for them, and their funds go to their choirs. Choirs that then travel beyond Mtua Parish, which is where I visited. So put another way, they sow literal seeds so they, the figurative seeds, can be cast and deliver the good news through the gift of their song. And while this is a people that is like us in many ways, they farm and plant fields of good soil, just like we do. They also aren't afraid of rocky, or should I say, bouldery ground. Jeff, go back one picture. Okay, you see the big boulder there in the corner? You see all the rocks up as we go further up into those fields? So there were fields on the side of this hill, on the side of this mountain, all over the place in Mtua Parish, and there were rocks and there were boulders everywhere, and yet they still planted fields. And you don't believe me that you can plant a field in a parking lot? Well, there on the right, that's one of their buildings that they worshiped in. And it looks so like to me they planted a field in the parking lot. Well, it wasn't really a parking lot, but you know what I mean. So, they weren't afraid of casting seed in a bouldery field. They also weren't afraid of casting seed on the path. Jeff, let's see if we can find it. Hey, there it is. So I say on the path, maybe it's beside the path. So anyone know what those are right there? Nope. Those are sweet potatoes. Those are sweet potatoes. And I know sweet potatoes probably aren't, you're not throwing seeds when you plant sweet potatoes, Norm. I got it. You got to plant them, whatever. So, but look at that. They're not wasting, I mean, there's a little grass, but they're not wasting this space on grass. They're planting along the side of the road. And let's see if we can find the next one, Jeff. Maybe my favorite picture of all. There it is. This is beside another road. You have more sweet potatoes and maybe a few other things at the base of this tree. And can anyone tell me what kind of tree that is? A banana tree. You see the bananas there growing right along the side of the road. Who needs grass when you can grow food, right? So how many here are on our mowing committee? Anybody here mow grass? Yeah, I see some. How about next year, out there along the road where you mow the grass, we put green beans and potatoes and corn, and we plant a couple apple trees. What do you say? Yes. Yes. All right, we'll have to put that one. Let's put a pin in that one. So perhaps our Tanzanian siblings in Christ are onto something here. Perhaps what we perceive as bad soil, rocky soil, weedy soil, perhaps our judgment about the ability of soil to bear fruit is wrong. Perhaps the soil is ready to receive the word of God. Perhaps it's not our choice where we are sown. Perhaps the call is to proclaim the good news wherever it is that the sower decides to cast us. And what is that good news that we are proclaiming? All right, Jeff, we're going to have to go back to, I think, the second picture. That one. That is the good news. You see it? Bird poop. Bird poop is the good news. So hear me out on this one. As Jesus sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate these seeds up. To which Jesus later explained to the disciples, the evil one snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what is sown on the path. So maybe the bird poop isn't exactly the good news, but it's maybe what comes from the bird poop. There it is. Okay, every year in our flower beds at home, we end up with what I call bonus plants. Weeds are not bonus plants. I hate weeds. But a bonus plant is something that I didn't plant that shows up anyway, and we leave it there. We let it grow because it adds value. It adds beauty to the space. And for us, that is usually a sunflower or sunflowers. So I've never planted sunflowers in this flower bed. And almost every year, we have sunflowers in this flower bed. So the first year that sunflower showed up, how did it get there?
Bird poop.
Bird poop. Lydia, don't argue with me. It's bird poop. The good news is that if the seed lands on the path, the seed, the word of God, still has a chance to germinate. Eventually, even if it means it has to go through the digestive tract of the evil one and be pooped out onto good soil, where it can then bear good fruit. Don't think about that one too hard. Just trust me on this. This is good news. The good news is that even if the seed doesn't germinate on the path, it can bear fruit just over beside the path. This is good news. The good news is that seed can take root and bear fruit on rocky, bouldery ground. This is good news. The good news is that if we, and I'm convinced of this, if we cast enough seeds amongst those weeds, the weeds will, for once, the seeds will, for once, crowd out those weeds. I'm not sure if that's going to work, Norm, but I think it might. That's what they tell me about grass. They say, just plant more grass and it'll crowd out the weeds. That's right. Thank you, Norm. The farmer's got my back. That is good news. This is all good news because even when we, the seed, are trampled and choked out and eaten and pooped out, even when the world rejects us, we still belong to the sower. The sower is ours and we are his. The sower is ours and we belong to the sower. Hear that again. We are his. And this sower that we belong to, this sower is a sower that didn't even bother to stay dead. We belong to a sower that didn't stay dead because this sower was resurrected. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We belong to a sower that lives. And we are the living seed that is called to proclaim his living word. We are called to proclaim that God's kingdom will come to this world. We pray for it every Sunday, don't we? God's kingdom will come to this world. We are called to proclaim that God's kingdom is breaking into this world right now, just as a seed may break into rocky ground. We are called to proclaim that when this kingdom fully comes, there will be no longer any path. There will no longer be rocky ground. There will no longer be stupid dardars and thorns and thistles. There will be only good soil when that kingdom fully arrives. Soil in which trees will grow. Trees that will clap their hands And the hills and the mountains will burst into song, and we will rejoice with them and all of creation. This is the good news we hear today, and this is the good news that everyone, not just those we judge to be good soil, but everyone, even the rocky ground, even the weeds, even those choked out by weeds, even the path, everyone needs to hear this good news. And how could we keep it from them? And how could we say anything but thanks be to God? Amen. Now, for our hymn of the day, it is a song that I don't know if we've sung it here, at least not when I'm here. It is, Lord, Let Our Hearts Be Good Soil. So it is a single verse song. Since we haven't sung it before, I've asked Andrea if she would sing it through for us once with Adam, and then we will sing it through twice. But if you do know the song, please feel free to sing it through the first time also. I am so proud of you. You can learn new songs. All right.
I ask you to join with me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. Everlasting. Amen. Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of creation.
Guide your church, O God, to sow seeds of forgiveness and righteousness on good soil. Reveal your will to us, the people of First Lutheran Church, as we move forward with the process of discerning consolation, and direct us to proclaim the truth with love and compassion, both here and throughout the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Sustain your creation, O God, by sending favorable weather. Send rain and snow from the skies that does not return until it has watered the earth, causing seeds to sprout and trees to burst forth with fruit. Withhold rain where there is too much, in places like Vermont and New Hampshire and the Northeast. Be with those whose lives have been impacted by the flooding in that region, and with rescue personnel and first responders working to lead people to safety and restore their lives. Guide us in ways that allow us to live at one with and be good stewards of your creation, that trees may clap their hands, that mountains and hills may burst into song, and that we, together with creation, may sing your praise. Hear us, O God.
Maintain peace among all people. O God, both here and afar, raise up politicians at our local, state, and national level, and inspire world leaders to work for the common good. Inspire lawyers and public defenders to work for justice in the courts, and advocates to speak for the downtrodden and oppressed. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Heal those who are sick, O God, especially Linda, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Bill, Linda, Tim, Ed, Wilma, Connie, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Guide healthcare workers to care for those who suffer, scientists to conduct life-saving research, and counselors to care for victims of sexual abuse and exploitation. Hear us, O God.
Answer the prayers of those gathered in worship, O God. Protect those who travel near and far. Accompany visitors to this congregation and nurture our faith. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. In the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another.
Field and forest, sea and sky, you are the giver of all good things. Sustain us with these gifts of your creation and multiply your graciousness in us, that the world may be fed with your love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this death day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us
from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Only Jesus can satisfy our hungry hearts. Come to the table where all are welcome. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Thank you.
body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ.
Please stand in body or in spirit. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We thank you, generous God, for the refreshments we have received at this banquet table. Send us now to spread your generosity into all the world, through the one who is our dearest treasure, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. And you may be seated. Up, down, down, up. Let's see. Noisy off. No, we'll wait for that one. VBS starts next Sunday. Next Sunday is VBS, which means the following Sunday, the 30th, 29th, I don't know, 30th, we will have a joint service here at 10 a.m. To include the children from VBS and presenting a program. So I can't wait for that joint service and for VBS on that day. If you know anyone who would like to participate or could benefit from participating in VBS, please pass that along to them. There's still plenty of time to sign up, I think. Right? There you go. So, all right. So in your bulletins, if you have not done so already, there is a thing that says music news. Worship and Music would like to incorporate your songs or hymns that you like. So if you have some songs or hymns that you would like us to incorporate in the service, some of your favorites, maybe you want to try some new ones, please put them here, and we will take that into consideration the next time we are developing our greatest hits for Sunday. So please do that. Any other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none then. It looks like are we ready for the noisy offering? That will go to VBS for the remainder of this month. So please stay seated until they come and take your noise. Oh. You can also put your worship thing in the noisy offering if you haven't done it yet. All right. Closing hymn. Thank you.
The harvest sends rain and snow to water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Go in peace, share the harvest.